Hey, folks, this is Hannes Finney from the Storyworthy Podcast, and we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for listening. And you know what? The only way for us to grow is for you to tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't even like. We need you to get the word out there about Storyworthy. And we thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
Hi, this is Lil Vet Snellings, and I'm in the box listening to Storyworthy. Can someone let me out now, please?
Hey! Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Standard Hotel on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, California.
I mean, this is truly the center of Los Angeles.
It's super, super hip. It's perhaps one of the hippest hotels in. But here's an interesting thing about the Standard Hotel. You know what the building was before it was the super hip Standard Hotel?
I don't know exactly, but I know it's an old building, probably built in the 30s.
It was previously, right before it was the Standard, it was an elderly convalescent home.
That's exactly
right. So people probably died
left
multiple times down every hallway in this place. My favorite movie, Annie Hall. There's a scene. I'm really going to go, and this is going to be very obscure. Christine, you could take a nap during this. Okay. So Annie Hall, Diane Keaton goes out to Hollywood with Paul Simon. Woody Allen meets her in a health food restaurant on Sunset Boulevard that is directly across the street from the Standard Hotel,
yes.
Except that it was a convalescent home.
At that time.
And I was like, why do I know this building when I first saw it? Why do I know this? Oh, it's across the street. So anyhow, I'm saying now it's hip. It's so hip that the word standard on the sign is upside down.
Right. That's how hip it is. And now that I think of it, it is quite handicap accessible.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's good for the cocaine and the drinking and so forth.
Well, here's why we're coming from the Standard tonight is because our guest, Lilibet Snellings, is here, Hannes. Lilibet, she worked right here in the lobby
for
4 years.
Was she a bartender, perhaps?
She was not a bartender.
Was she a chambermaid? Is that a word? Are there still chambermaids?
First of all, we're not in the 30s anymore.
Right.
We're in the 21st century is what they call it.
Really? I'm not familiar with
and
this concept at all.
And therefore, we put our women in a box.
Where's my beeper? Women
no,
in a box?
Really,
what?
It's really interesting. Lilibet, she just put out a book called Box Girl, My Part-Time Job as an Art Installation. Basically, she was part of an art installation behind the front desk at the Standard Hotel. Truly in a box. It wasn't a room. You couldn't stand up in there. It was more of an aquarium.
Huh.
There's a girl in there, but there's no water.
Well, thank God. Otherwise, it becomes a really dark show.
It's a chick aquarium.
Have you ever seen The Prestige?
No.
Okay. Five guys are laughing because there's water in a box and a guy, Hugh Jackman's clone, dies every time he... Never mind. Let's get back to the subject at hand. Guys are laughing their asses
but
off.
But every month, the art behind the girl changes and different art installations, but the girl remains in the box. And Lilibet was just one of those girls. And
I'm going to want to find out... Well, maybe she'll just end up telling us how long her shifts were.
I believe you'll be able to ask her those questions, Hannes.
Yes.
There are many other Standard Hotels. There's one in New York. There's one in Miami.
One downtown LA, I believe.
That's right. There is one downtown.
I've actually been to the a friend of mine got a room there because she had something downtown. So I go and see the room. And so then we were able to go up on the rooftop.
Oh, right. And they have a pool
the
up there,
super
right?
Super hip happening rooftop.
And they have a pool.
They had a pool. They have these crazy plastic chairs from like 1973. I was bored out of my mind, except for the fact that
Hannes,
they were...
you are so fucking hard to please. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I'm incredibly hard to please.
What are you bored at a party on top of a rooftop at the Standard Hotel in Los Angeles?
A bunch of hipsters sitting around paying way too much for drinks.
Why does that make you mad?
It didn't make me It did make me mad, but everything makes me mad. Wait, let me tell you the part that... here's the part that placated me, and this is really going to make you roll your eyes, is they were projecting the movie Logan's Run onto the building next door.
Okay, would any movie being projected been okay with you? Or
no, Logan's Run was perfect because it's crazy 70s.
Well, so then what was the problem?
Well, it wasn't a problem for about half an hour, and then I'm like, I don't drink, so I'm bored.
Oh, God, honest. You
it
know,
wasn't
honestly,
a party. It was a bunch of people sitting around.
What would be your ideal night? What do you want to do?
I want to watch Game of Thrones while eating my new favorite pizza, Pizza Rev, as in Pizza Revolution.
What happened? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Sean Merrick,
our sound engineer, is very excited. Basically, this is a brilliant idea. There's another one called Blaze Pizza. I'm an equal opportunity person. It's basically as if you set up a Subway, you know, the way you make a Subway sandwich. But it's a pizza.
Okay.
Now imagine, so you go down and they have all the ingredients,
so
and you decide what you want as you go along, and then they make it fresh in a wood fire pizza, and they give it to you. It's like $8.
Where is this at?
The one I went to is in Burbank. There's several of them.
Okay. And so this is one of the new turn-ons in your life right now.
It is a turn-on. It's embarrassing because when I'm in line, I'm aroused, and that,
ladies,
you know,
and gentlemen,
that can't be good. I knock over the trays. It's not.
That's so gross. Now, what if we had what if you were in the box, Hannes? What if you walk into, let's
talk
say,
about boredom.
Let's talk.
People
let's
would
say
be
you
looking
walk
at
into,
me in the box, going, "Does he? Is he dead? Does he move?
People,
oh, he's got a clicker. He's changing the TV
walk
channel."
Walk into La Quinta,
yeah,
and there you are over the front desk in a box, watching the Packer game in your boxer shorts with your penis hanging out the side.
Oh, wait! Where did this come from?
Because you know it would be, and your hair would be disheveled. The four hairs
First
you
of
have.
First, I wear boxer shorts.
Oh, God. Tidy whities, don't tell
no,
me.
No. I wear boxer briefs. Is that okay with you?
No, those are actually my favorite.
Boxer briefs? No, yeah, because
I appreciate a snug fit.
Because tidy whities are not sexy, but they give good support.
By the
Whereas
way,
Whereas your boxer
color.
Shorts have no support. You're flopping all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
The knit boxer is my favorite boxer. But I'll say this. The tidy whitey, it's not just about them being white. They could be colored underwear. But if they're tidy whitey, it could be tidy reddy or tidy greeny. They're all wrong in my
book. And by the
book.
Way, if
there,
it is tidy reddy, that you need to see a doctor immediately. If you get a tidy reddy, you
if
should
head
to the
doctor. If your tidy pinky is getting tidy reddy, this is not good. Hey, as I understand it, Leonardo DiCaprio owns the diner here at the Standard. The diner opened 24/7,
really?
And
he
it's
does?
Called 24/7.
How interesting. That why would he bother, I would think.
Now, I used to say that on my Hollywood tour. You know, I used to give tours of Hollywood. Of course I did.
Yes. You're feeling superior to me in my Green Bay Packer boxer shorts. Meanwhile, you're going in your polyester like, down here. Are you just making shit up? These people don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You could have said anything.
Don't speak English,
yeah,
number
don't speak English
one.
In the first place.
And I'm on the top of a double-decker bus going down Sunset Strip, and I'm pointing stuff out. So here's what I would say about the Standard Hotel.
Yes.
I would say they've got a hot box girl is what they have. No, I didn't say that, but I did talk
good,
about
because that sounds, again, like something you should see a doctor about.
Here's the other thing I love about the Standard is they have a fantastic ping pong table with a nice amount of space
see,
around
now
it,
that
which I appreciate.
Does not bore me. That interests me. If there had been a ping pong table on the top of the Standard by the pool, and then
the
some
downtown
girl in a bikini,
Standard.
Yeah, and some girl in a bikini had to jump in and get the balls that would inevitably throw into the pool.
You should put that in a guest request.
Yes, I will. They don't care about me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a real storyteller here tonight.
You Thank know how, God.
You know how we know that? She's got a book in her hand.
What?
And that tells me.
Is it her book? Because I could just walk in with a book and
it is
be all impressive.
Book,
look,
I'm
War
so
and Peace.
Excited. Yeah, I actually met her at a Skylight event. You know Skylight Books on
Skylight
Vermont
Books is one of those
Avenue.
Fine actual bookstores
right.
in the world.
And I host some events there. And Lilibet was doing a book signing there nice. And an event. And there was lots of alcohol, can you imagine? And it went very well.
Yeah.
We sold out the books. We sold out.
Nice.
And then I said, I need that girl on my show.
That's right.
And then we hooked it up.
And then you said... And then you see the pink elephant next to you. You were like, I want you to be on my show.
I was
You're
working.
My best friend. It's like, you're talking to a plant, Christine. Shut up. Shut up.
Hey, folks, listen, if you want to support Storyworthy, here's what you need to do.
You need to start drinking.
You need to tell a friend or a coworker or a family member.
Yeah,
you
word of mouth.
Explain to them what podcasting is, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard. I know people think it's hard. It's not that hard.
You explain to them like Stitcher.com or you take them to iTunes. Or there's so many different ways to reach us. Storyworthypodcast.com, we're right there.
You just go there and you can just click the play button. It's a couple of clicks.
Okay,
we need 100 people.
Wherever you are, stay tuned because our guest tonight, Lilibet Snellings, is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian Jason Love.
And I will be talking about comedy on a bus.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, folks, guess what? Storyworthy is now dropping twice a week.
Twice? What, does this mean more work?
It's double the work is what it is, actually. But two brand new true stories coming at you every week from the Storyworthy podcast.
I guess that is good because that's twice as much me.
Twice as much me.
I'm sorry, my earphones are cutting out. What did you say? So tell your friends, tell your families, tell your enemies, tell everybody twice a week.
Hey, this is Matt Oswald, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We're actually, oddly enough, it might be an echo. We are inside the box, the now empty box that our guest Lilibet used to sit in, and it's really quite crowded. So I understand that, you know, I was expressing unbelief during the break that the diner was owned by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well,
what have you come up with?
Well, because the thing is, I was talking about my Hollywood tour, and half the shit on that tour was made up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, yeah. I knew what I was talking about. It's just that the people I was talking to didn't understand what I was saying.
Right.
Because, again, most of them don't speak English, and so they just want to hear stars' names. So you would be going down the Sunset Strip, and you would say, you know, you'd have to say about the star, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, Carney's hot dog, that train that's there, you know, Elvis Presley used to go there. That was his favorite place. He would
so you could just be going,
Elvis Presley. Exactly.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Cameron Diaz. Exactly.
Yes,
that's all they want to hear. Yep. And then they start snapping pictures furiously.
Oh, these Asians with their pictures. It's crazy talk.
Goodness.
So it just turns out that he was one
trouble.
Of the, what was it?
Okay, so yeah.
Oh yeah, the Asians who listened to
Leonardo DiCaprio and Benicio del Toro were among the early investors at the Standard Hotel. So now,
see, I wonder.
I can't quite find more information directly on the diner.
See,
so we can just say I made that part up.
Yeah, you probably just made that. I mean, I don't even know. It says that, but I wonder if they just wanted star quality. It could be, I swear to you, it could be that some giant corporation financing the Standard paid them to be able to say they invested in it.
Yeah. You're very cynical, and you think that there's always
cynical,
foreign investors.
Just
but you always think it's about foreign investors getting stars to put their names on things.
I didn't say foreign investors, racist. Wow. By the way, it's a weird thing about Leonardo. So we're looking up Leonardo DiCaprio, and all we can find is these pictures of him on the beach from last week where he's fat, quote-unquote fat. He's got like a little belly, right? It's like, I'm not usually a defender of Leonardo DiCaprio, but give him a little break. Huh?
The great fat speed.
Yeah, the great fat speed.
Sean
says,
Merrick.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very funny.
It's like, he spends his whole life working out and dieting so he can look hot and girls want to fuck him. Could you give him a break on vacation?
Well,
can
maybe
he eat one taco? He's not that fat.
Maybe he's also preparing for a role or something.
Maybe he just is a normal 39-year-old
person.
Hey,
you know,
can I
just tell you something? I live in the little town of Los Feliz, and our library has a Leonardo DiCaprio computer room that he donated when it was built about 15 years ago.
Yes.
He donated about $50,000, maybe $100,000 to the library to
right.
be built. And so now there are in the computer room, all the computers are grape iMacs.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, it's up to date, but there's posters of him, you know?
Yeah.
So there's like
Titanic. And oddly enough, every Google search ends up on his homepage. That's the price that they had to pay.
Oh my goodness. All right, you guys. We are so excited she's here. Lilibet Snellings.
Great Fatsby.
She is the author of the book Box Girl, My Part-Time Job as an Art Installation. Now her writings have been published in the Huffington Post, Los Angeles Magazine, Anthem, and Flaunt. And you can find her at lilibetsnellings.com or on Twitter at lilibetsnellings. Lilibet, how much do you love that name, Hannes?
Well, as a person with a name no one can pronounce or spell, it's a name I enjoy. Yes.
Lilibet. Libet Snellings. So at Twitter, at Lilibet Snellings. So folks, whoever you are, put your hands together for Lilibet Snellings.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I love that you're saying that my name is hard to spell and pronounce when your name is Hannes. So I was just going to introduce really quickly before I start reading. This book is a collection of essays, primarily humorous essays, about my moving to LA when I was 22 and sort of all of the various hilarious odd jobs that I had while trying to support myself. I was like your stereotypical slash, a waitress slash writer slash actress slash nanny slash extra in music videos, et cetera, et cetera. And sort of the oddest job was my stint as a box girl at the Standard Hotel. So I'm going to read some of the short early chapters from my book about being a box girl. I take off my shoes first and crack my toes against the cold lobby floor. Then I take off my jeans. Finally, my shirt. I am not naked, but close to it, in short white shorts and a tight white tank top. For the next 7 hours, this is my uniform. Reaching into my bag, I take out the things I want inside with me. Tonight, it's my laptop, my phone, two pens, headphones, this week's issue of The New Yorker, even though I haven't opened last week's, a legal pad, lip gloss. I comb my fingers through my hair, press my lips together, and glance quickly towards my feet, surveying my uniform, making sure everything important is covered. Finally, I retrieve the stepladder, and with my hands steadied on its sides, I climb up its stairs and crawl inside the box. Since the Standard Hotel opened on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood in 1998, a glass box with the dimensions of a large waterless aquarium, 15 feet long, 4 feet wide, 5 feet tall, has been a permanent art installation behind the front desk. Three sides of the box are glass, while the back wall, the one farthest from the lobby, is solid. The box is big enough for sitting, lying down, or sleeping, but about a foot too short for standing. Inside the box, there is only a single mattress with white, starch-smelling sheets tucked and folded crisply at its corners. On top of that, there's one firm pillow, two if I'm lucky. In front of the box is the concierge desk, a minimalist block of glossy off-white. In front of that are three backless bar stools, which no one ever sits on. The floor in the lobby is an eggshell shade too, shiny like it's just been shellacked with a coat of clear nail polish. During the day, the scene in the lobby rarely changes. Everyone always seems to be waiting for someone else. A man fidgets with his phone, a woman jangles the bracelets on her wrists, digging for a watch under an armful of accessories. But by dusk, as the smell of chlorine surrenders to cigarette smoke, the set begins to change. Every night at 7 o'clock, the box girl arrives. From 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., she can do whatever she wants inside the box. Read, talk on her phone, use her computer, even sleep. The only thing she absolutely cannot do is make eye contact with anyone outside of the box. It's supposed to appear as if this mysterious creature has no idea anyone else is around. No clue that anyone is out there looking in. Once a week, I am that mysterious creature. In one of the early chapters, I actually list the box girl rules as provided to us by hotel management. And in addition to very standard rules like where to park your car and what to wear, it also includes the following two gems, which I'm going to read out loud. Ultimately, this is a modeling job, and you must take care of your body. If you have severe bruises, bandages, or casts, you must wait until your body is healed and then ask to be put back on the schedule. Or my favorite rule, please wear undergarments. The following chapter is titled, Please Wear Undergarments. And it's only one sentence long. I never thought I would be employed at a place where that needed to be put in writing. I would like to think I'm a fairly responsible box girl. I arrive on time. I wear undergarments. I have never shown up to a shift with my leg in a cast. Yet tonight, I find myself reprimanded, the recipient of my very first box girl demerit. It's a few hours into the night when the concierge swings open the door, which he never does, so I am sufficiently startled. He takes in the view, me, the mattress, my stuff. You're not supposed to have so much stuff in the box at once, he says. Only one thing at a time. I guess this is an unwritten rule. I am, in fact, surrounded. To my left, my laptop. To my right, my phone. Next to that, three books, two spiral-bound notebooks, a blue pen, two black pens, headphones, hand cream, a nail file, and my electricity bill. On the periphery, countless pieces of paper are wadded into frustrated little fists. It looks like my apartment. It looks real. It looks too real. Could you tidy it up a bit, he says. It looks messy. It's been documented that animals in captivity exhibit some very bizarre behaviors. Primates, for example, often eat and throw their own feces. They are also known to engage in a behavior called regurgitation and re-ingestion, vomiting into their hands and eating the vomit. While I have never thrown my own feces or voluntarily re-ingested my own vomit, I can say with certainty that how one acts while stuck inside a cage is most definitely not how one acts when left to one's own free will. We are told to behave in the box as if we are alone in our living rooms. First of all, I don't have a living room. And if I did, when I sat in it, I wouldn't make sure I was sitting in a way that doesn't make my thighs look fat. I wouldn't continually untangle my hair with my fingers. I wouldn't make sure my lip gloss was not smudged outside my lip area. I do not wear lip gloss at home. Observed in my one-room apartment, I'd most likely be wearing my other uniform, a greenish-yellow sweatshirt that most closely resembles the color of diarrhea, pajama pants that are too short, and tube socks that are too tall. If it was chilly, I might have a powder blue bathrobe over that. My hair would be piled into a hay-like heap on top of my head, and I probably would not have shaved my legs even to my knee. Forget the elevations my razor has to ascend before a box shift. I'd be sitting on my bed, surrounded by a smattering of books and magazines, a New Yorker from weeks before, they just come so frequently, an In Touch from that week, and a variety of items not meant to be on bed sheets, a laptop, a jar of nail polish, various crumbly snacks. I'd probably be neglecting it all while turning up the volume on the latest episode of Extreme Couponing. Not only does my apartment not have a living room, it also does not have a bedroom. Technically, a studio does not have a bedroom, a living room, or a kitchen. It's just one large room having an identity crisis. I can basically open my front door while in the shower. To make matters worse, my address has a half in it. 316 and a half, the studio apartment's bastard stepchild. The half handle is very confusing for delivery people and thus very inconvenient for me, a delivery enthusiast. No, I'll say to the Domino's order taker, I'm not the house in the front, I'm up the stairs in the back. More often than not, my downstairs neighbor has to bring my pizza up to me, which was particularly embarrassing the time I had already fallen asleep and didn't remember I had ordered pizza in the first place. Startled awake by the knocking, I tripped toward the door, disoriented and lacking pants. Who is it? I said through the door. Your pizza's here, the voice answered. My what? I said, pinching the corners of my eyes, trying to extract some moisture from my contacts. Your pizza, the voice was shouting now. Who is this? I said, wishing this person would go away. It's Ken from downstairs. Oh, hey, Ken, I said, relieved and still through the door. No, listen, I'm good. I don't want any pizza, but thanks, though. No, I'm not offering you pizza, he said. You ordered pizza, and it was delivered to our house. Oh, right. Yeah, obviously. I was totally just messing with you. Want a slice? Or perhaps an observer might catch me during the day, sitting at my desk, my left foot propped up on my chair, my chin perched on top of my knee. I'd probably be peeling the polish off my nails while staring at the blinking cursor of a blank Microsoft Office document. Blink, blink, blink. Like staring into the refrigerator hoping something will magically appear for me. Maybe on that particular day, I had decided that wearing a hat might make me more focused. But which hat? They were all so disorganized. Maybe I should organize them, I might have thought. It's amazing all the things I suddenly realize I need to do when I am supposed to be doing something else. Maybe I might have thought, since I'm up, I should water that plant. Maybe I should tweeze my eyebrows. Maybe I should go through my closet and see what old jeans would make good cutoffs. Maybe I should make a pair of cutoffs and wear them while I Clorox the bathroom. Maybe I'll bleach the shower in my new shorts, which will be both stylish and utilitarian, and then have to open every window because of the fumes, have to determine the apartment a biohazard, and be forced to evacuate immediately and seek shelter at the bar down the street where the air is much safer and where there happens to be a very reasonable happy hour going on. One might observe that process were they to see me alone in my lack of living room, but no lip gloss. People in the lobby assume I can't hear them when I'm in the box. Perhaps it's from watching too many crime scene TV shows, but there's something about a glassed-in room that makes people assume it's soundproof. It's not. If I choose to listen, I can hear everything. I can hear the drunk couple at the end of the night, her hanging on his arm like a koala on a branch, asking how much for a room for the night. I can hear the group of guys debating between the Sky Bar, the Chateau Marmont, or the strip club, as well as the unanimous decision, strip club, done. Most interestingly, I can hear any and all commentary about that girl in the box, me. Tourists, especially those with southern accents, seem to ask the most questions. They'll lean forward on the front desk, their hanging bag still slung over their shoulders, and demand to know, "Well, how in the hell long is she in there for?" Sometimes concerned parents ask, "Is it hard to breathe in there?" But the most asked question by far is, "Can they go to the bathroom?" When anyone finds out I'm a box girl, this is always the first thing they want to know. It is such a ludicrous question, I can't resist giving a ludicrous answer. No. "Are you serious?" they'll ask. "For how long?" "7 hours," I'll say. "What?" they'll demand. "How do you do that?" "Some box girls go in their pants," I'll say, "but I prefer to avoid liquid for 24 hours prior to my shift, just dry out like a raisin." Of course we are allowed to go to the bathroom. Like the questions, I also hear a lot of observations about, well, myself. One night, a young African-American guy leaned over the counter and said to the male concierge, "She's got a good booty for a white girl." I lay there on my stomach, my booty behind me, stadium-like lights shining down upon it, and stared at my book, frozen. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Though I'm no expert, I'm fairly certain this means I have a large booty for a white girl. I much prefer the question I'll hear if I'm lying very, very still. "Is she real?" This always makes me happy because I know mannequins don't have cellulite.
Oh. Thank you.
What a job.
Awesome. I know, right?
Well, wow.
What was
I
the audition
it.
Process for this
Great
job?
Question. That is one of the chapters.
Good, because my first question was going to be, "Can you go to the bathroom?"
Of course.
So luckily I avoided that bullet.
Like I said, everyone's first question. Yeah. The audition or interview was, I should tell you that I got this job because I was working at Flaunt Magazine, and one of the other girls who worked there used to be a box girl. Mm-hmm. So she told me, and she, I guess, was a retired box girl. So she told me that they were looking for a new blonde and asked if I would be interested in being a box girl. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but I said, yes, I was very interested in being a box girl. And so the interview was in the lobby of the Standard, and it was with the art director, and it was basically, it was very simple, straightforward. She just kind of explained to me how it works and where to park, and we just kind of chatted. I think basically all they wanted to know was like what you looked like and just make sure you're not completely insane.
What did you wear to the interview?
I wore I tried to wear something like very slimming and hip, something that I thought a box girl would wear outside of the box.
I see. Okay. Right. So you didn't wear...
I tried to look, you know, you try to look pretty.
Right. You're, of course. You didn't wear boxer shorts, though. You didn't have
no,
to.
No. Yes.
Right.
I did not arrive. I did not drive
did
to Hollywood
wear,
for the interview.
Did you wear tidy
whiteies?
No.
No. No. The uniform was short white shorts, yes, like boy yes. shorts. But no, for the interview, I wore like jeans.
Did you have a locker then at the Standard that you'd put your stuff in before you climb
that,
in the box?
That would have been amazing. No. Actually, this was interesting. No locker. So I would arrive at the Standard with my box girl uniform under my jeans, which was always sort of awkward because it kind of made
sure.
it look like you were wearing a diaper
right.
with like boy shorts under your jeans.
You got a nice booty for a white girl.
Exactly.
It's a diaper, sir.
It's a diaper, sir. Okay. It's adding bulk, don't you realize?
Yeah.
And then I just wear like a big sweater, a big
cardigan.
But
then where
or
do you
over.
Put those
oh,
items?
So then you have to kind of disrobe next to the box.
Right.
So are
you in public view
yeah,
before you get in the box?
You are, but what's interesting is that around like 6:45 when you'd arrive, the lobby was normally pretty empty. So, but sometimes there were people there and they were always very fascinated by this kind of transition when this pedestrian,
well, it is fascinating.
You know, morphs into the box.
But then, because in the box itself is truly just a mattress.
It's just a single mattress.
So there's nowhere to stand. There's no floor, as it were. It's all mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you put your coat at that point?
Okay, so underneath the box is elevated.
It is elevated,
up
right.
high behind the front desk, and then below that was like this little secret storage area where you put all your stuff.
So
your
it
coat.
Was really thought out. This box
it was really thought out. Yeah, there was a heat, like a space heater. Under there if it got cold.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
And because I would think you'd feel very claustrophobic, no?
I mean, if the box were not glass, I think you'd feel very claustrophobic, but...
That'd be more of a grave.
Yes, that would be... I think that would just be called torture.
Grave girl.
Yeah. I'm not claustrophobic, so it didn't bother me, but I would imagine if someone were claustrophobic,
sure.
this would not be the job for them.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. I say, you know, it just makes me realize that they've got a thing about people being seen. So I said one time I was there, this friend, my friend had a room. So I see the room and the shower wall facing into the bedroom, the main room of the hotel room, is glass.
Yep.
Right. So you could see
so
the
you could
person.
See in the shower. And this is, I cannot, this is the worst idea I've
right.
ever heard. First of all, what if there's like a couple of salesmen from Detroit and it's like,
why
they don't
would they
watch
be sharing
it.
A room?
Well,
okay,
yeah.
let's say I'm sharing.
I think
wait,
it's
hang
hot.
On. Hang on. No,
I think
no, no.
It's totally hot.
It could be hot under the right circumstances. But
correct.
Even if it's somebody that you are being intimate with, do you really want to watch them bathe? I mean, I'm not talking about like...
Yeah. Is there an option? Like, in other words...
No, there's no option.
You
no.
can
like,
look at the TV or
she's
something.
She's got a... You could, but if there's a person that...
Yeah.
A naked person right there behind
the
glass...
It's the same space as the TV.
Yes.
Like,
it's
the same
like
visual
this,
periphery.
They have
yeah,
the same thing
like,
at the...
Yeah.
I think it's a Maritime Hotel in New York, and it was about 10 years
Hudson.
Ago.
What,
at the Hudson.
The Hudson. Yeah, I've been
and
there.
And my mom and I stayed at the Hudson together.
Yeah, there you go.
Super awkward. Yeah,
that's where I found out it was hot.
I'm going to take a shower, and I was like, okay, and I'm going to go for a walk.
That's right. Yeah, there's no curtain. Like, okay, you
right.
can, again, you know, it's like you want, it's the curtain, literally drawing the curtain. It's like women are wonderfully sexy. They don't want to want you to watch them shave their legs and fix everything
right.
and do everything. That is not
there was actually
the idea.
Wasn't there a Seinfeld episode about, like, you know, naked is sexy, but naked's not sexy when you're doing, like, things like.
Right. His girlfriend was always naked,
always
and
naked.
She would
like
be, like, trying to open a jar of pickles.
Right.
It's like, he's like, this is not.
Right.
And he's leaving a welt on her thigh because she's holding the pickles between.
Yeah.
And then he decides to get naked and sand the floor, and that turns out very
right.
bad.
When you came out of the box, did you just want to stretch?
Yes, I would say. I actually, in one of my chapters, I outline yoga-inspired box positions.
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I don't do yoga, so it's kind of funny because I'm like, I
yeah.
think this one is reminiscent of Chaturanga, but I don't really know what that means. But, yeah, you would have to, it was really hard navigating the sort of like, ergonomically correct yet aesthetically pleasing, you know, like something that feels good but also you look good. So
right.
Because you wanted to look like, you know, you didn't want to just be sitting there slumped over.
You are working, as it were. Yeah. This is a job.
Right.
Right.
You want to look cute, but you also want to be comfortable. So, like, I would lie in, like, the cute position on my stomach with my book, and then, like, my arms would go numb, like,
right. And you'd have
20
to
minutes
shift.
In.
You'd have
then
to
you'd
shift.
Have to roll over.
Isn't that interesting? Even though it might appear like a really easy job, of course it has its downfalls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course. And what if you're crampy and you don't feel good?
Yeah.
Could you curl up into a fetal position and just cry a little?
Oh,
that is so hot.
Yes. And
yes.
One time I actually... let's see. One time I actually did sleep almost my entire shift. You're allowed to sleep. And I was
Were you
really hungover.
Over.
Yes.
I knew that.
I was really
saw
hungover.
That coming.
And I mean, I was like, what, 22, 23?
Yeah.
Like that whole decade, yeah. I think I was hungover.
And
I would, and I just crawled right in and took a nap for like
I just have to say, your little thing about the African-American gentleman, because yes. It's like women are amazing. They can turn anything into a negative about their body. I don't mean this to be mean, but it's like, this is obviously a compliment.
Yeah.
Right. No,
but
exactly.
Women translate it into, does that, wait, is this really bad? Is this really, it's like, no,
well,
it was a compliment.
Speaking of that, you are very beautiful, and you have done a couple of covers for some fitness magazines. And boy, oh boy, if you're on the cover of a fitness magazine, you know what, Hannes?
You're fit?
You're fit.
Nice.
I liked it. Yes,
figured
I was on the cover of Runner's World, and I like to call it the Vogue of running magazines. So,
are you a runner?
I am a runner. Yes,
oh,
I ran cross country and track for University of Colorado for a year, and then I got injured and quit. And but anyway, I've done marathons, and I still run.
Oh, no kidding! And how many marathons have you done?
I shouldn't have said that in the plural. I've done one marathon.
I did one marathon. I'll bet you any money, mine was much worse than yours.
Oh,
okay. At the same time, we say our time. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Hold on,
wait.
Okay.
Can you remember?
Got
yeah.
It.
Everybody
yep,
knows
their
time. Honest, you count to three.
Okay. One, two, three.
351.
5 hours and 12 minutes. You broke 4 hours, dude. That's amazing.
But but actually, the fact that like my cross country team won NCAAs my freshman year, like, and three of the girls on my team went on to run at the Olympics.
Oh,
my time
exciting.
Should have been much faster than slightly faster than a 9 minute.
So you were
mile.
The slowest girl.
I was
girl
doing it as a recreational
but under,
runner. Not
listen,
as a
but under
runner.
A 9 minute mile for 26 miles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my time. Is under a 12-minute mile for 26 miles, and I was
Which
very
is
proud
still
of it.
Very
hey, I finished,
impressive.
And I never stopped running. So
That's
that was the good news.
The only marathon I ever did was the Twilight Zone marathon on Channel 5 on New Year's Day.
So. Here's a That's question. Awesome. Did you ever feel an earthquake in the box?
No, I didn't, but it was always like a great fear of mine. I have like a
of
serious
course.
Fear of, yeah, of earthquakes in general, but especially when I was in the box because you're like surrounded by glass, which
oh
is
my gosh.
Obviously a major problem.
I would
problem.
Think that you would survive and then it would be, speaking of the Twilight Zone, this would be perfect. Everyone else in the hotel dies. Everyone else in the city, but
that
you're preserved
be...
in the box.
What did they tell you about up. That? Was
they
there
didn't a... tell me anything, but I my plan was to get underneath the mattress
yeah.
if I could.
Yes.
I like thought through this because I have such an irrational fear of earthquakes.
I don't think that's irrational yeah. at all. You're in a box in a hotel.
Surrounded
I mean,
by
people
glass.
Are all going to head for the fire exits and you're in a box.
Yeah. Well, you weren't locked in there. So I guess
oh,
I
could have.
Oh, that's
good news.
You know, I could have, you know, gotten out.
Did you become friends with any of the concierge? I mean, you know, like literally, like were you like, oh, I'm so glad so-and-so's working?
No, because the thing is that you really don't interact with these people. I mean, you got there and you... I would just get there, say
sounds
hello.
Lonely. It sounds lonely.
Yeah, get in the box and then leave. Have them like validate my parking at the end of the night. That was as much interaction.
Little back,
as I
get
had.
The fuck back in the box.
Exactly.
Get in the box. Get in the box. What's in the box?
Yeah, exactly.
What's
but
in the
what
box?
What was so weird is that the concierge would be having like conversations, you know, right in front of me.
Right.
And I could hear their conversations, but of course, I'm not involved in the conversation.
But
just,
also,
like,
I bet that there would
the
be
background.
Like a-hole customers would come up, and they would leave, and then the two people at the desk would be like, oh, that fucking prick from
yeah, you got
Tennessee,
to,
and then you're
totally.
Like privileged to all the information.
Totally.
Of,
and you, I
worthless.
Got to see what was on their computer screens, too. I knew what they
oh,
were looking at the
weird.
Whole time.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It like it was
and
so
they,
funny.
And they forgot you were even there.
So they didn't realize that someone behind them is watching them like
totally
troll
fly on the wall.
Total fly on the wall. And it was funny. It shows like how long I was kind of in the box for. Like when I first started, all they looked at was MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved to Facebook.
That's hilarious.
And now I guess I would imagine they just like look at their phones.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think it'd be different now with Facebook and Twitter to be in the box?
I think... Yeah, I
You'd
would
be on there all day.
You'd be doing selfies the whole time
exactly.
and sending them out.
Totally. Well, what's so funny is that like I talk about that in the book that I used to take pictures of myself inside the box because I was always kind of writing about it. And I thought maybe, I really thought it'd be like a magazine article. I didn't think it was necessarily going to be a book. So I'd take pictures, but it was like before the era of the selfie when like taking a picture of yourself was still something to be embarrassed about. So I had to be like,
to me,
really,
it still is, but that's a whole other topic. Yeah.
But I had to be very sneaky about it.
Yeah. I guess you would. Have there ever been two girls in the box, as it were, if you know what I mean?
I saw that video. No, that was different. Hang
that
on.
That was two girls, one cup.
Yes.
That's, hello, there we go. Finally, I can't believe we haven't caught.
I don't know exactly what that is, but I ain't watching
it.
I ain't watching
one
it.
Cup.
I'm not watching it.
Don't watch
well,
it.
Well, I'm just saying.
Don't
I'm,
watch
I'm,
it.
I'm not.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
No, I thought it was important that we
That's what I was thinking of.
I was.
No, you articulated what I was.
So were there?
So two girls, one
box. Two girls in the box. Tell us. Yeah.
Bad too. No, one girl at a time.
One girl at a time. Interesting. Never buy in there.
There was, we had, for a hot second, there was a box boy, but I don't think he lasted very long.
That would be a hot second.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Believe me, that guy has no interest in you girls.
Didn't you ever
want
to, like, be behind the concierge head, like, holding up a sign, like, you know, oh, you know, the points down to him,
totally.
Like, loser.
This man is not wearing pants.
Yeah,
right.
Something
yes.
like that.
This guy's been on MySpace for the last 7 hours.
What were your favorite kind of boxer shorts to wear? Do you have a favorite kind?
I had one, I'm not one pair, but I had the same pair that I kept rebuying, and they were from American Apparel, and they were just, you know.
Yeah.
Are you saying they're box shorts or they're boy shorts?
Boy shorts. Mine were not like.
Honest is trying to gather
underwear.
His fantasy together.
No, I'm saying.
Mine were actually shorts.
No, actually, what I'm
saying. Very short.
Okay, no, what I'm saying is, like, I can't believe that they didn't, like. Like, okay, if it had not, did anybody put on an outfit and then do it? And then they said, "This, you need a different outfit." I'm surprised they didn't provide the outfit, quite frankly.
I agree, so it would be uniform.
Anybody ever get fired from this? Was there anybody like you have? Are not hot enough or not distant enough?
But you didn't even probably meet the other girls.
See, that's the thing is that we were like ships passing in the night. I didn't know
any
of the
other
box girls.
Two box girls passing
in the
night.
But we would like, you know, exchange emails and texts like, you know, can you cover my shift on Thursday? But that was it. I didn't know what any of these girls looked like because I really didn't go to the Standard to hang out when it wasn't my shift.
You guys should have had a box party. You know what I mean?
We actually had one.
A box lunch party, perhaps.
1 year the Standard had a Christmas party. But, like, again, even there, it was, like, very hard to tell who was a box girl and who was not. Because, like,
they're all different colors. And,
everybody
who
works there looks like a friggin'.
Everyone who looks there is, like, attractive
different
anyway.
Different types of people,
and
yeah.
Everyone in West Hollywood, like, kind of looks the same.
It's so
one band
you know, but that's not the word.
Next,
Christine, you said what ticks me off about the,
oh,
see, it's
here
not
we go.
No,
here
it's not that it's too hip. It's pretentious, which is different than actually being hip.
What about confidence? Like
this is the ultimate non-confidence is to be pretentious.
Well, but
if you have confidence,
pretentious. I think it could be.
Pretentious is overcompensating.
Yes, that's exactly the word. Thank you, writer person, for having the proper word.
People that are artistic and trying to put their. You know, trying to make a mark and just kind of exploring, and who knows what's right and wrong, but why do we have to fucking judge each other and tell anybody that they're right or wrong? I mean, why can't you just say, you know, that's where they're at in their place in their little journey in life, and I'm a fucking grumpy old man, and that's where they're at.
Do you guys need a mediator?
No,
I think we do.
I'm right, and everyone else is wrong.
I gotta ask you, you live in Chicago now.
Yes, just moved.
Well, how did we bury the lead on this? I'm from Milwaukee,
well,
you know.
I lived in LA for 8 years.
You know, Milwaukee, they don't get pretentious down there.
Jesus, we're not talking about
Milwaukee. You didn't know that now I live
in Chicago. We're talking about Chicago.
Wait a minute, Chicago.
Okay, I lived in LA for almost nine years, and then I just moved to Chicago this December in time for not one, but two polar vortexes.
Good work.
Been so cold. Would you rather live in Los Angeles? Just, it's between you and I. Would you?
There's no one listening. Trust us.
No one listening. I mean, there's so much I miss about L.A. Yes, I love L.A.
Because you seem like a Southern Californian girl.
It's been not the one fun thing, but something I have enjoyed about Chicago is it is very much like your traditional city. It's not sprawling. It's a city. Like, I don't have a car in Chicago. You know,
you don't need a car in Chicago.
It's fun to be in kind of a
It's a more manageable
metropolis.
Version of New York
it's very
or Philadelphia.
Urban.
It's like a cleaner, nicer New York.
Yeah, very urban, though.
What part of Chicago do you live in?
Well, when we first moved there, we were in River North, so that's like super downtown. And now we're over in Bucktown, which is kind of like a Silver Lake version.
Oh, yes, that's good. Yes. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, or Los Feliz.
And your husband works there, and so that's basically that's where you're at.
Yeah, we moved there for his
But you grew up in Connecticut.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Grew
so you're
Georgia, then Connecticut. Yeah.
Georgia, then Connecticut, yeah. then LA, and yeah. now Chicago.
I'm moving all around.
You should start boxes in every city you go
you
to.
You should just move to Saskatchewan and get it over with. It's, just I be agree. Cold 24 hours a day all year round.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I would love to. I'm not sure what that means, but I'd love to.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Passport. Ooh, I have a good one. Okay. All right. Are you, she started already. Okay. So, when I went to college at Boulder, University of Colorado, and I studied abroad in London for 6 months. And, let's see, I lost my passport cause like, you know, I lose everything. And, I had to fly home for this family reunion thing. So I'm on my way, I'm packing, getting ready to go to the airport. I realize that I do not have my passport. I go to the U.S. Embassy. This is after 9/11 too, which is amazing. Go to the U.S. Embassy, cry my way to the front of every single line. I made up this elaborate story about how my sister was getting married. I do not have a sister. How I was a bridesmaid, boo-hooing through every line. They just moved me to the front. They didn't know what to do with this blubbering 20-year-old. And then I got an emergency passport. In like under an hour, they gave it to me, hopped in a cab. Oh, and I had to like sprint to a store to get my photo taken, sprinted back to the embassy. Anyway, got a passport in like less than an hour, made it to Heathrow in time for my international flight and made it.
Wow. And that story was 1 minute, 5 seconds.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yay. But she'll cry, and we'll take the 5 seconds
I
off.
I also love when, you know what I love about that, Hannes, that topic, passport, is when the guest lands on passport, and then they literally have a story about their passport.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you always
words,
have
it. It could be like a traveling story. It could be anything.
Every once in a while, we get somebody who's like, I don't have a passport.
But that's
which
a,
is
that's
a story, which is a story in itself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I just, let me just say, there's, you know, hot chicks can cry their way to the front of the line. If I walk into the embassy and start wailing, they are calling
security.
I'm being held and detained.
You're holding yourself short, Hannes.
Yeah.
I think you're calling yourself. You're selling yourself short.
But it's funny. So you literally lied about something that they could technically.
I've done it many times. In college, one time, my cat died. I do not have a cat. I just was always making up excuses.
When I was a flight attendant, to try to get out of flying. I was always trying to get out of flying. My grandmother died 3-4 times.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that happens.
Exactly.
That happens.
You've had a lot of jobs.
I have had a lot of jobs, as you have had a lot of jobs.
Wait, so how
long? Well, we have that in common.
Are you, so how long have you been in Chicago?
Just 6 months.
No, yeah, just 6 months. Right, you said that. Never mind. I remember.
Just
the vortex.
So you haven't even experienced nice Chicago yet.
The spring and the summer.
We were there kind of off and on a little bit. He had to be there a lot for work. So we were there. But so I have experienced Chicago.
Hey, you know what you should do in late June, early July? You
go
should take a road
Summer
trip up
Fest.
To Milwaukee and go up
so,
to Summerfest. That's exactly
guess,
right.
From Milwaukee.
Yeah, yes. There he. No, but I'm serious about Summerfest. You should totally go.
No, I'm actually dying to go to Wisconsin because I love cheese and I love beer.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think it would be like a magical
All right, there's
place.
A place. Okay, well, on the road between the freeway between Chicago and Milwaukee is a place called Mars Cheese Castle.
That sounds unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. You must go to Mars Cheese Castle. Write that down.
Oh, my gosh.
You won't miss it. It's right on the side of the freeway.
You are right up Hannes' alley, little bit. He is just in love with you.
Seriously, it's at Summerfest. You'll have a
ball. He didn't like me until he realized I live in the Midwest and like cheese.
No. I like you fine.
Listen, what a pleasure to have you on. And we can find your book anywhere.
Yes, it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's.
It's a beautiful cover. I love the cover as well.
Local
what does the cover look like? Let me see it.
It is. Go buy it in real life.
Oh, there's the sheet.
Now,
and then
did
just
they choose the cover? Or did you choose
and,
the cover?
I should also say it's available on iTunes, iBooks, Kindle.
Did you audiobook it? Then you read the audiobook?
No, I haven't. I just mean you can like buy it iBook on
you can
iBooks
come
and read it
to
on your
my
phone.
Apartment. You can go in my closet and narrate your audiobook. You know,
I would love to.
You can do that. I narrate audiobooks and I have the whole setup and you can come and do that.
It'll be like a flashback to being a box girl, except you'll be an incredibly tiny
closet girl.
I want to say that, you know, if you wanted to purchase this fine book through Amazon.com, you could go through a story where the podcast. Podcast.com, click on the Amazon link and we would get a taste.
Honest, you're
of
always
that money.
Thinking, and I love that.
I love
oh,
that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right now. I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Sean Merrick and, of course, Anthony Bench. Where is Anthony today, Sean?
He's at WonderCon.
Anthony's at WonderCon. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, what? I don't even know where WonderCon is.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
He's at WonderCon, too, apparently.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Lilibet Snellings, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And, of course, on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.